I want to start this morning by telling you a story. My mom was a survivor. Over 20 years, she had a series of medical near misses, including a kidney transplant, including a major heart attack, and a number of other things that went on. Serious things. In the words of her surgeon, she should have been dead at least four times over. He described himself as an atheist, but he said he could only describe her survival on those occasions as a miracle. But just over 4 years ago, I had a call from my dad to say that this time my mum hadn't recovered. She died. Just before the carol service, a friend of mine in his 40s went canoeing. He was a very experienced canoeist, and he was leading a group down a river in Northern Ireland, and that group included his teenage son. His dad was leading the way, and they came to a weir, and the river was in flood. His son watched as his dad canoed over that weir and didn't come up. Dead, just like that, leaving a wife and two teenage children. Why do good people suffer? That's the question we're looking at today. Why? It's not right, is it? And the truth is, before I say anything else about this, and before we explore it more, there are no easy answers. And I shared the stories I've just shared, not for you to feel sorry for me, but because they're real, and they're very personal. And I know you will have your own stories of suffering in your life. And these stories aren't theoretical, are they? They're real. They're personal. They make a difference. And the problem is, when we come to a question like this, it's very easy to be theoretical, to talk in abstract terms. Our ideas, our grand theories. Maybe sometimes it's easier to talk about natural disasters on the far side of the world. Or to talk about events in history like, I don't know, World War I or something like that. 1917's out at the moment, isn't it? But the truth is that suffering is always personal. Whether it's far away or whether it's close to us, suffering involves real people, real lives. People like you and like me. And it's for that reason that I'm very pleased that in the Bible, we don't have a load of theory on suffering. What we have is stories. Lots of them, of real people struggling with real life, with real experiences. Experiences of pain and loss. And some of those people respond well, and some of them respond badly, and most of them are a mixture of both. And the truth is, whenever we're reading the Bible, only Jesus responds perfectly. And one of those stories is the story of Job, and we've just heard Mike read it. This very wealthy man, this man who worships God. But what he can't see is this conversation going on above him, as it were, between God and the devil. And when we think about devil, we think about Satan. We're not talking about here about the guy with horns and a pitchfork or whatever, we have those pictures. Just think of evil personified. Think of craftiness. Think of subtlety. Think of manipulative. Devious, accusing. And this devil, Satan, says to God, Job only worships you because of what's in it for him. I wonder if you've ever had that said about you or about others. Well, you only worship God because of what's in it for you. Pie in the sky when you die, or whatever it is. Nice friendly club to go along to on Sundays. A crutch, Christianity sometimes describe it as. So the question for Job is, will he still worship God if he loses everything? If he goes through not just a little bit of a storm, but a massive storm, will he still worship God? And that's the test that the devil puts to God. And God doesn't do what the devil asks. Instead, well, he doesn't strike down Job for a start, but he does allow the devil to work, to strike him down. He allows evil to do its worst. And you could say God chooses not to intervene. And that raises a big question, doesn't it? The question is this suffering all God's fault? Why doesn't he do something? Ever heard that? Why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't God just come and wipe out evil and those who do evil? In fact, why doesn't he just wipe out all those who do quite a lot wrong? Come to think about it, why doesn't he wipe out those who do just a little bit wrong, if he's a perfect God? But where would he draw the line? And where would you or I sit? In the Bible, the truth is, God sometimes intervenes, and sometimes he doesn't. Why is it that Jesus heals a few people here and there, rather than doing a massive, great global zap, as it were, and healing the world of every sickness and illness and problem? Let's go back to Job. In the story, Satan goes to work. Raiding enemies attack, they steal Job's animals, they kill his servants, fire from sky destroys other animals, the wind blows the house down and kills Job's servants. Be worried about the wind this morning. And later Job gets a disease, sores all over him. You could say it's reached boiling point. Think about that one. And the question is, who is to blame? Who is to blame for this suffering? Who is to blame for all this stuff? And the answer here apparently is Satan, the devil. And at times we may blame evil for what happens. Although, when you look at it, you could also blame those raiders. Or you could blame the brothers who weren't guarding the animals. Or you could blame the house builder for not building it strongly enough. Or, there's no easy answer, is there? But in this case, the devil, evil, was definitely involved. If a drunk driver runs over a child, and some of you will have experienced that, is God to blame for not stopping it? A lot of people would say yes. Is Satan to blame? The devil? Or is a human to blame? Now most of us would say, in that instance, the human. The driver is to blame. The driver was drinking and has gone out and knocked over this child. But you see, you might also say, well, the friends of that driver in the pub were to blame, who said nothing when he drove off. You could say the car designers were to blame. The car designers who designed a car that had injured children more than it should, but who were saving money or trying to produce a nice, pretty design. And maybe we could say all car drivers are actually to blame because it's our demand that means there's cars there in the first place, irrespective of the harm that they do to the planet or to one another. You see, it's not easy, is it? Individuals are very often to blame, and of course we're right to blame the drunk driver in an instance like that. But it's not always simple. Back to the story of Job. After all this stuff goes on, this terrible stuff happens, Job's friends turn up. That's a good thing, or you would think so. And it says they sit silently with him. But then instead of asking him how he feels and trying to help, they start telling him their theories about suffering. And then they try to tell Job that it's all his fault. And neither God nor Job are very happy with them. It's like some people say, I believe in karma. If bad stuff happens to you, it's all your fault. Well, they normally actually say, if good stuff happens to you, you get good stuff happening to you. But the truth is, it works the other way, if that's what you believe. If bad stuff happens, it's your fault. And sometimes that's true, isn't it? If I eat raw chicken and I catch salmonella, it's my fault. If I drop a hammer on my foot, it's no good trying to blame the hammer manufacturer for not making the rubber grip particularly good. It's no good trying to blame Helen because she let me go out there and start using a hammer or whatever. I can try and find all sorts of people to blame, and we often do, but the truth is it's my own fault. And some suffering is our own fault. But equally, we cannot blame individuals for all suffering, that it is their fault. Jesus met a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither. It's not his fault. Jesus' answer gets more complicated then. The answers aren't easy. Sometimes it might be our fault. Sometimes it's not. Some will say that when people suffer or die, oh, we should have prayed harder. We should have had more faith. Well, maybe that is sometimes true. But if it was always the case, why do so many Christians die despite prayers? And why did even Jesus die? We're all going to die someday. Unless he returns before then. If we didn't, the planet would be rather overloaded, wouldn't it, with people by now. You see, there's no simple answers. And we could find all sorts of other people to blame, couldn't we? The Bible shows that all sorts of stories in the Bible are caused by humans. I don't know, have you ever been to Pompeii? Hands up anyone who's been to Pompeii. I'm not going to ask you anything else. A few people have been to Pompeii. Okay, and Pompeii was wiped out in Roman times by the volcano Vesuvius erupting. It's kind of near Naples, that sort of area in Italy. And I remember visiting Pompeii and seeing these remains of bodies that had been burnt and then buried by the ash from the volcano. And you see, we could say, well, why did God allow that? Why does God allow volcanoes to erupt like that? Or earthquakes to happen? We might also want to ask, though, what would the world be like without them? Flat and boring, probably. Why did they die? Did God cause it? Or was it just the way he's made the earth? And was it partly because people had built too close to the volcano? And it probably wasn't the people who died. It was probably their parents or their grandparents or whatever the Roman equivalent were of property developers in their day. And why did they build there next to a volcano? Because the ground was fertile, because they could raise good crops and they could make more money. And we could say, well, silly them. But if you go to Vesuvius today, you'll find even more houses built round the edge, even closer to the volcano, even more people willing to put their lives at risk. Maybe sometimes the reason why people suffer is because of their parents, their grandparents, of other people in the world, generations sometimes before. Maybe we need to learn to listen more to God for his advice, his guidance about how we live. Back to Job one last time. You see, near the end of the story of Job, after all this stuff has happened, he puts his questions to God. Why does God allow good people to suffer? Why does God allow evil people to prosper, for that matter? And God answers. But not in the way that Job or we might expect or hope. From the midst of a storm, like today, God just points out that he is God, the Creator. Not even God starts trying to explain to humans the reason why we suffer. There are no simple answers. So is there any hope? And where is that hope? Well, for hope, I'd point you to this book as well. Because in here, throughout the Bible, there are real stories of real people suffering and their responses. And right at the heart of the Christian story is the story of God's Son coming as one of us, not into some cozy, cotton-wooled world, but of being abused, of being abandoned, of being beaten, of being crucified, of suffering one of the most horrific deaths known to man, and of being cut off from God, the Father. There are no easy answers, but one thing we cannot do is accuse Christianity of skating over these things and not putting these issues of suffering right at the heart of what the story of God and his work at the world in the world is about. Right at the heart there, Jesus is suffering at the hands of humans. And they taunt him in the way that people taunt many Christians. If your God is so powerful, why don't you do something to stop your suffering? And God doesn't. Instead, God experiences the loss of his son. But he also raises Jesus from the dead. And he also promises that one day there will be no more pain and no more suffering. And if we choose to follow him, one day we will see him face to face. One day we will see things in perspective and understand. One day we will be with him forever in the new heaven and the new earth. So no, there are no easy answers, but yes, there is hope. And it's not just for life after death. If we go back to those stories I began with, the story of my mum, the story of my friend Stephen, each of those people, and I'm sure people you know as well, and their families, were followers of Jesus. And they decided to go through their sufferings with God. Indeed, through their sufferings, they grew closer to God. And each one of us will face suffering in our lives. It's part of living in a complex, fallen, messed up world. Whatever our thoughts or our ideas or our theories or our feelings are about them, we all have a choice to make. Would we rather go through the suffering with God or without him? Would we rather choose to turn our backs on God, to try and cope on our own, to work out our theories and hope there's no life after death? Or would we choose to go through the suffering with God? A God who sometimes heals and sometimes doesn't. A God who doesn't deny suffering, but gave us a book of stories about it. God who experienced suffering and loss himself. And God who offers us love and peace. And God who one day will end suffering forever. There are no simple answers, but there is a simple choice: to trust God or to face suffering without him. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you offer to walk with us through the storms of life. That amidst the suffering we see around us in the world and in our own lives, you go on loving us and bring us your peace and your hope. And we thank you that as we reach out for you, that one day not only will you carry us through the sufferings now, but one day you will bring us to your peace, your fullness, your new life, and a place where there is no suffering and no more pain. Amen. Can I just encourage you that if you are struggling with this stuff at the moment, I know many of you will be, if you want to reach out to God, one of the ways you can do that is just talk to someone, first of all, you know, who has faith, who trusts in God, and ask them to pray for you. And if you know someone who's struggling, can I encourage you to offer to pray with them And you might struggle to know, what can I say? Just pray, dear God, please bless whoever it is. Dear God, please bring so-and-so your peace, your hope. It can be as simple as that. But just sit alongside them, be there with them, and offer to pray with them. But also, if you'd like someone to pray with you, then please, at the end of the service, just hang around over here. You don't need to explain to anyone, unless you want to, all the ins and outs of it. Just hang around over here, and somebody will be there just to say a short prayer with you, so that you can know God's love. We're going